This is a quote from a chapter called Naturally Liberating Whatever You Meet. On the one hand, when you regard disturbing emotions as emptiness, your practice turns into taking emptiness as the path and not the disturbing emotions. Thus, your practice doesn't become the short path. On the other hand, if you indulge in the disturbing emotions, thinking they are something concrete, it's like eating a poisonous plant and is the cause which binds you to samsara. Any disturbing emotion that may arise is wisdom the moment you relax to your natural mind. Look directly into it. Don't deliberately reject it, regard it as a fault, indulge in it concretely, or regard it as a virtue. The more I live my life tuning to Dharma, attempt to live life dharmically, live my life and see it becoming more dharmic, certain words come through really strongly, like the word balance and the word patience. I see myself going through life in which phenomena appear, and some of them captivate me immensely, and my awareness goes into a thought relationship to that particular phenomenon. And at that moment, I lose some balance. I lose the spacious ground in which that phenomena exists. And then sometimes I keep letting go of thoughts, letting go of thoughts, letting go of thoughts, until there is just awareness. Resting in that, you lose the world. And we've talked about the fire, which fires purify and which fires burn. At different moments, one fire that would burn at one moment later will purify. Depends on how ego involved or how invested you are in a particular phenomenon as it arises. But I experience my life as a dance of balancing, of cultivating the qualities of spaciousness, of equanimity, of peace, of happiness. But I noticed that there were certain stages in my development, and they're still going on, and it's left over and away from my renunciate models, where I haven't yet fully re-entered into the passions of life because I'm afraid of them, because I'm afraid they will captivate my consciousness and take me away from my balance too much. And I realize you shouldn't be afraid of anything. I agree, but I am afraid. And what I see myself doing, that's one of those fires. I see myself getting closer and closer to the edge of my fear, of coming back into some passionate joy about something in the world, something I would have been afraid to do for fear of losing my quiet spaciousness, and realizing that now my quiet spaciousness is still present, that it's still empty, clear, quiet.
The practical aspects of dealing with fear. When I am afraid of something, what I do is I come up as close to it as I can, and I sit with it, and I watch my reactivity of wanting to create resistance against it, that which I'm afraid of. And I allow that myself to notice the resistance and keep softening about it by bringing to mind that which I fear, and keep doing like this to it, which is like embracing it into myself, rather than, because the resistance against something exacerbates the fear, there's no doubt about it. So that by just having commerce with it as close as you can get comfortably, and then just sitting with it, seeing the boundaries, noticing the quality of your fear, just being with it. Don't push, don't grab, just see it as a process that comes out of conditioning, of identification, of, you can go back into the root of fear, which is identification. Because as long as you think you're something that's as vulnerable, you're gonna be afraid. So if you're gonna get rid of the root cause of the fear, the work is to work spiritually on yourself, not to deal with the fear directly. That's just a symptom of the faulty identification. So you work on the identification. But in the meantime, when you want to use the fear itself to waken, go close to it and sit with it and just play with the edge of it.